two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, hey, hey.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We will be taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. Such a beautiful day, Ton. I did spend all day last Saturday, outside.
I've got great news for those
putting
who
out mulch
they...
and doing all sorts of things. What are we hearing? We got it? Okay. I think it was out in the newsroom. Anyway, sorry about that.
It's all good. So you spent...
Back to where I was.
Yes.
Okay, so I had my big yellow bag and I still hadn't put out all the mulch. And I spent the entire day spreading mulch throughout my yard. And my front yard looks fantastic. But now, today, it's going to be another beautiful day and I'm going to spend the whole day outside.
Yeah, it sounds like a great thing to do. The benefits to this is you're getting ahead for next year, one. But two, just the stress relief of just being able to do physical work.
And being in the sunshine.
Yes, vitamin D.
Yes. Yes. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Anyway, we wanted to start out this hour. I totally got us off subject. A lot of people are out thinking about buying Christmas trees, cutting down Christmas trees. I've never done this, but you have some tips for folks who actually want to buy a real Christmas tree.
Yes, I
do. Now, you're talking about, I thought you were talking about cutting down trees. You're not talking about cutting down trees. That's
no.
What I've never done. I've bought real trees. But then worry that
yes.
They were going to burn the house down.
But the care would apply for something you've cut out of a forest, too.
Okay, so give us some tips.
Either way. So what you're going to look for is fresh trees. And that, you know,
what does that mean? How do I know if it's fresh?
You know, if you've ever watched A Christmas Story, that the old, I think it was 80s, where the kid wants a Red Ryder BB gun.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene in there where the dad is shopping for a Christmas tree just like you would a new car. And he's shaking them and tilting them and things. And the old thing to do was to tap the tree on the ground mm-hmm. and see if needles fall out. And that will tell you if the tree is fresh or not. And that works, but because of that, a lot of tree lots have started going through the entire lot and shaking all the trees every morning.
Oh,
So you don't know.
Oh.
And so what you need to look for, if the branches are still supple and will bend, you can try gently just on an unnoticeable branch, maybe toward the middle a little bit. Try pulling on the needles gently and see if they come off.
Okay.
Because they're going to be shipped most likely out of the Pacific Northwest or the Idaho Panhandle. And it takes, you know, a few to several days to get them down here. So those are some things you're going to look for. Now, I got an email from an arborist a week or two ago talking about how he noticed on some imported trees a pest. And so because those or they're geographically separated, but especially Idaho Panhandle or mountains have a similar climate, you actually want to inspect the tree, and if it's a nighttime with a flashlight or during the day, for pest and insect damage.
Oh.
And if you see pitch masses or any other kinds of strange growth, you might want to, I don't know if the tree dealer will know much about it, but you might want to shoot some pictures and send them off to your local extension office. But be aware that a lot of pests are spread that way and that you want to have a pest-free tree.
There is nothing like the smell of a fresh Christmas tree. I'm going to say that. But the reason I don't have a fresh Christmas tree is they take care. You can't ignore them. So we're really good for the first couple of weeks with the water, and then suddenly we've forgotten all about it.
And
one day we've forgotten about it. Right. So what is the proper care once you do get that tree off the lot?
So once you get it off the lot and get it home, one thing you can do trying to take it home is some lots have started to offer actually wrapping the tree for you in a netting or a light gauge twine. And it's easier to transport. It reduces wind whipping. Because those branches are supple, it doesn't really hurt the tree that much. But once you get it home, you want to have a stand that will accommodate more than a quart of water.
This is where the problem comes in.
Yes, and they may not be easy to find. But you get that tree home and don't cut through nails with a saw, but get that base that's been pounded on there off of it, and then cut a half inch off the base of the trunk, and then immediately get that tree into its stand and get water on it, because the first couple of days that tree may absorb 2 or 3 gallons of water, and you really have to stay on top of it until it's fully hydrated. There are some tree stands out there that will actually have like this extra bag of water from a little hose.
No.
That it's almost like a, yeah. And
wow.
You can hide this bag behind the couch.
Oh,
and then
no.
Water
that
the tree
that
way.
Sounds like I'm going to destroy my carpet.
Yeah, and that's
furniture.
What it sounds like to me. But there are things out there like that. But if you can get a tree stand that has a little bit higher water holding capacity than just the cheap, like 1 quart ones, that's going to be healthier for your tree.
Right. Now, so what if you do actually let it go dry? Then you have a problem, right? You have to cut off the bottom.
You do. Take it out, cut off the bottom, and then put it back
in. That's a real problem with lights on it, Tom. Just saying.
It is. I mean, you can try, and it wouldn't be as efficient drilling holes. And I'm not saying anybody do this.
Don't
but
do this.
If it's a week before Christmas and you want to get your drill out and drill 3 or 4 sides, maybe that could help get some more water up there. But it's
that
just,
would mean I'd have to learn how to use the drill.
Yeah, it's essential that the tree not dry out before Christmas.
I know. I could probably figure it out. I've watched people use drills all the time. And you put up an article on the Facebook page.
Yes.
Okay. You can find many more tips on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page if you'd like to check that out. We have callers waiting. We have some texters with questions waiting. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. And we'll be back in a minute.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com. Or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton with you. Taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Next listener question. This person says that they were out and they watered all their shrubs and trees last week because it had been such a long time since we got rain. Was that okay?
It was fine.
Yeah, you can take a hose and water something, especially, you know, trees that you're concerned about.
Yeah, it needs to be above 40 degrees so you don't risk creating ice sheets under the plants, because those ice sheets over time can kill your lawn. The lawn is what we're not worried about right now. It's just newly establishing trees and shrubs. So anything under a couple of years old, new perennials, and then conifers and other broadleafed evergreens like laurels and euonymus. Those don't grow. The conifers, you know, junipers, pines, fir, spruce, and laurels, euonymus don't truly go dormant. They shut down, but because they're holding on to those needles, they still need to be able to move water through their systems to keep the needles hydrated. And if the ground is dry and there's not available moisture, then the needles dry out and desiccate off the plants, or the leaves desiccate off. And when you see, especially on the south side of a plant or the west side, all those leaves are brown. Because they heated up so much, the plant couldn't transport enough water up, and the plant lost those leaves.
Right. Okay, let's go to Leslie, who's been waiting patiently in Farmington. Good morning, Leslie. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, I have a couple of hydrangeas that used to bloom pretty well, but the last couple of years they haven't bloomed at all.
What kind of hydrangeas?
I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I fertilized them, watered them, and I'm just in a quandary.
Yeah, what kind of hydrangeas are they?
I have no idea. We moved to this home, and the previous owner had planted them, so I don't really know.
Okay, and are you in the older part of Farmington, around the courthouse, or in newer areas?
In newer areas.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
There, I was wondering, because around that courthouse and along State Street going into town, you actually have pockets of soil in there that are below, that are almost acidic, and you can grow hydrangeas and dogwood trees in very limited areas in Farmington. So I was wondering if it was that situation. So, I mean, all I can really tell you to do is to keep taking care of them. Has anybody pruned them over the last few years?
Yeah, I kind of hacked them in the spring a bit, and I had heard that maybe we weren't supposed to do that, that the new bud will come on old wood.
Yeah, some of the hydrangeas produce flowers on one-year-old wood, and some of them produce flowers on new growth. And so I would not prune them and just continue to maintain them and see if they bloom this next summer.
Okay. What about fertilizing?
Fertilizer, if they look healthy, no. We often assume that fertilizer is this miracle product that just fixes plants no matter what's wrong, and oftentimes it's not. It's vitamins for the plant. And so you could do a fertilization in early spring with something like 16-16-16, and it would benefit them, but would it make them start blooming? No, probably not.
Okay. I did notice that the leaves kind of get like a vein looking through them, like a lighter vein going through them.
That can be some iron deficiency. And so the other thing you would do is get some chelated iron. You don't want to skimp on this, and you're going to be paying the lobster prices for it. But IFA, Steve Regan, J&J's, Valley Nursery, there's a lot of different area local nurseries and shops that will have it, but you're going to want Miller Fera Plus, and it's FERIPLUS, or Grow.
Okay.
The other one is Grow More, and that's the brand is GROMORE, chelated iron.
Okay.
That's spelled CHELATED. And what I would do is maybe hit them with some triple 16. And then at the same time, put down the iron and then water it all in thoroughly.
Okay.
Sometime between mid-March and early April.
Perfect. Well, thank you. I appreciate your help.
All right, Leslie. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener says, when and how is the best time to prune?
In mid-March, if you're on the Wasatch Front, and use renewal pruning to where you're taking 20 to 25% of the branches out toward the base, and you focus on the biggest branches. Once you do that, you'll drop the size by half. And then you can just nip here and there and bring them back down to size. What will happen is it will bloom like mad in the summer, but you have a half-size rose of Sharon, it will grow back. But you do this every year so that you don't have any branches in the rose of Sharon that are older than 3 or 4 years.
Okay, next listener is Roger in Provo. Good morning, Roger. What is your question?
Good morning. We have some snow mounts by Rhea. It's probably 15 years old. It's quite tall, 4 feet at least, and a lot of branches on it, but I've never been able to get it to blossom. Maybe two or three blossoms or just very few.
Okay, are you shearing it?
I have at least once in the autumn, but not regularly.
Okay. I mean, shearing it could knock all the flower blossoms off. So that's one thing to consider. And are they planted in a shady location?
It's fairly shady. They're on the south side, and there are a lot of trees around it. I've tried to get them plenty of sun. They do seem to have a lot of light, but it may not be direct.
Yeah, they will grow in the shade, but one thing I've noticed about spirea is that they really need 5 or 6 hours of good sunlight a day. It doesn't matter what time of day, you know, if it's in the morning, afternoon, or evening, you know, you don't want just all of a sudden the sun hitting them in June at 9 o'clock or something. But, you know, if they can get that good 5 or 6 hours, I think that would help. But between maybe the random prunings and just the shady location, that is probably inhibiting them from blooming. You know, Snowmound spirea is one of my favorite plants, and that 4x4 feet is about the max of what they'll do. You could try some renewal pruning. Instead of shearing them, you would go in and just on each plant take out 20 to 25% of the branches, just the biggest ones you can find toward the base of the plant with some hand shears. And then use that technique to stimulate some new growth and see over a couple of years if that will maybe stimulate them to blossom.
When you say shearing, you just mean cutting off the top?
No. That cuts off the flower buds. You're going in toward the base of the plant. Oh, the shearing is giving them a haircut, just like you're just shearing.
Okay, but we do the opposite of that.
You're doing the opposite. You're getting some good hand pruners and going in toward the base and just cutting about 20% of the branches out of each plant and just trying to get the biggest ones out. That will bring
how close
the size
to the ground with
as close as you can reasonably get. You don't want to damage the plants or damage you. And then if you needed to and they were big enough, you could maybe use a Sawzall. I don't know what you would need to, but there are pruning blades on Sawzalls that can be nice.
And what kind of sun do they need for that 6 hours? Is it got to be just direct, constant sunlight?
If they got 2 hours now, 2 hours, and, you know, it doesn't matter. But they need 5 or 6 hours of direct sunlight during the day.
Okay.
All right,
I think that's probably the problem, the sunlight. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much for your call this morning. We need to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.